Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm the emperor. I'm the grand poobah of Team Have Not at this point.
Y'all need me? Y'all blanket need me? Yeah, y'all do.
Back in the Kia studios, to Riggs and Murtaugh of the radio, Randy Mack, John Chukri, hanging out with you. Halfway home.
All right? I'm good, brother. I'm good, man. I'm just eating some oatmeal. I think I burnt the hole in my damn esophagus. Kind of catch my breath.
I've been loading up my eggs with. Has Marco Owens got his hand raised back there? I see.
So, what was the name you just gave yourself not 30 seconds ago when we came back in? We're back together. Who and who?
Oh, it's the Riggs and Murtaugh of the Atlanta Radio.
The sweet, precious little millennial to my left over here looks at me and she goes, I don't get it. What are Riggs and Murtaugh?
What the heezy?
Apparently anything you say in here is not safe.
No. Ain't no secrets around here. Wendy, you never seen Lethal Weapon?
I'm not going to say the next follow-up.
Okay, you know I'm putting it on. I go, Lethal Weapon. She goes, oh, is that the Samuel L. Jackson movie?
Wow.
You know, we almost
Mondays are for disappointments. You're welcome.
You know, Mark, we almost really were going to disappoint people because we were thinking, because I really like De Silva and Fox.
I love Nighthawks, but I'm more of a Murtaugh. I can't fill that role.
Okay, but here's the thing. Right. You don't have to worry about getting slashed because I've been shooting.
Yeah.
Like, you hadn't had to worry about the last couple of months, you hadn't had to worry about me shooting because I've been shooting.
Like I said, I mean,
I'm missing by 3 feet, but I'm still shooting.
But you're out there, though. You put yourself out there.
Because you're worried about getting cut because, you know, De Silva didn't take the shot.
Yeah.
I'm at least taking the shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no,
I'm at least taking the shot.
Because I have more of a Danny Glover personality.
No, I think Riggs and Murtaugh is good for us.
Yes.
You know, one of us is kind of straight-laced and you know, upstanding. And the other one is you.
Yeah.
That's how it works. That's why it works so well together with us. So, with you here for a couple of more hours is, by the way, you can go to 929thegame.com. You can stream us live there, too. Put a couple things up online for you, kind of recapping from the show, some of our Braves conversation, plus our talk earlier about Georgia Tech and where the brand is out there. Download your radio.com app. Mark, I don't know if you know this. You put it on your phone, your tablet, your Walkman, your boombox, your CD player, your record player, whatever you got, download it on that so that you can listen to us anywhere, anytime, on the go. Social media, all of it is at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Do we have MySpace, Wendy? Do we have a MySpace account? Nothing, no.
Friendster.
Match.
Geocities.com/.
FarmersGetTogether.com. Do we have any of that up there? No? Okay. Well, we'll see if we can get all that up there. He is on Twitter at RandyMack81. I am on Twitter at JMCH316. Wendy Adams, Mark Owens hanging out with us today behind the scenes. So, Randy, as free agency has kind of come to a screeching halt in a lot of ways, the Atlanta Falcons can now start to focus on their draft. And I give the Falcons credit because reality was, Randy, the Falcons had a budget for Aldi. They couldn't go to Whole Foods and shop.
Right, right.
They had to go to Aldi and pick up some of their basic needs. And I think they did a good job of that. But now as we start to head toward the draft, the question that I ask you is, give me kind of in order what you think the top three priorities should be in these first three rounds of the draft for the Falcons.
Defensive tackle, defensive end, O-line.
Okay.
Yep.
Narrow O-line for me.
Guards.
Okay.
Guards. No, I'm sorry. Guard center, somebody that can replace Alex Mack.
Okay. What does my say up there?
Yours says defensive tackle, defensive end, cornerback.
No. What's that in the middle? That's a G/C.
Oh, guard center.
Yeah. They need to find that guy that if he can play guard now and go to center in a year or two, if Alex Mack is not here, then they have that kind of guy. I think everybody feels like go get that next big defensive tackle to play beside Grady.
Yeah. I know a lot of people, you know, Ed Oliver. I like Ed Oliver. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I don't like Ed Oliver.
No, it's not the player.
I want a bigger guy beside Grady. Right. I want Desh Lawrence. I want somebody like that. But if you go out and get a let's say you do go out and you get an Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver weighed 287 at the combine. I promise you when he plays, he doesn't play at 287.
No. Right. He's
probably too closer to the 275.
No, remember, Randy, he purposely kind of – that's why he didn't run
that's
and everything.
Run, yes,
because he purposely tried to bulk up to weigh up. He kind of did the opposite of what some guys do instead of, you know, trying to lean down some. He tried to get bulked up to show that he was heavier. Yeah. He ain't going to play at 287.
No, he ain't playing at 287. No.
So if he plays at 287, he ain't going to be Ed Oliver.
They're gonna be in trouble because he won't be that same. He won't be the same type
explosive player. Yes.
But no, I mean, again, another thing you throw out: if they draft Ed Oliver, does that mean that they might not be able to retain Grady? And they get why haven't we talked about Dunison not enough that he's going to be the starting guy next to Grady?
You know, I asked Jarvis that same question on Friday because I'm like, isn't he like supposed to be like? Isn't the ascension of third round pick?
Yeah.
We're not going the Terrell McClain, Poe route. We got our young guy.
Isn't he supposed to be starting? You know how I feel about third rounders. I think he should be starting as a damn rookie.
Right.
You know, that's just how I feel about it. But, yeah, I mean, I would like
Christian. Why did he not get on the field toward the end of the year?
That's a good point, especially with the names you just called out, which McClain and Crawford and those guys.
Yeah.
Why didn't he play more? A guy like Lawrence out of Clemson. I like him a lot. I mean, this is nothing against Ed Oliver. I just want a bigger guy. That's all. I just want a bigger guy beside Grady.
The idea is help explain to everybody. The idea is a guy that can eat up a couple blockers to allow Grady to get upfield.
Let Grady do his thing, and also keep guys off Deion.
Right.
That's what you're trying to look for, but. I mean, if they draft it out, I won't be mad about it because he's a hell of a football player.
Yeah, right.
Hell of a player.
It's not you know, guys have a fit, you know, in different schemes. And just Oliver, he's too much like Grady, right? I mean, that's the thing is that he's too similar of a player. Yeah. When you talk about in the NFL, about lining guys up side by side with one another, you don't necessarily want two of the same exact guys if they're lighter weight guys and more speed
guys.
Because
you're already small defensively anyway.
Right.
I mean – and again, I'm not saying that they can't coexist together, but here's the thing. If you're paying Grady $15 million, you want to keep him at the DT. You want to keep him at three.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You want him.
Yes.
You don't want to move to nose.
No.
And you sure don't want Ed Oliver being your starting nose. So that's what I'm saying. I would prefer a bigger body there.
Well, if they draft an Ed Oliver in first round, he has to play. Forget whatever Deidre Sinnott did or did not do. He's your starter at that point.
No question.
At this hour of the show, brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. Randy Mack, John Shuckery in the Key Studios. We talk about potential spots for the Atlanta Falcons to draft. Now, I think offensive line has to be even a higher priority than defensive end because at some point, Randy, you have got to draft your next really good guys and get some cheap labor along that offensive line. I know the Falcons went out and got a couple of guys in free agency. They cut Ryan Schrader. They re-signed Tyson Breo. But you need those next guys to fill in when Mac's not here. We know Jake's going to be here. I got to start getting younger, better, cheaper along my offensive line. And I think that has to really be a top priority. At some point, I know the stink of Peter Kahn's and Lamar Holmes – I think in some ways hasn't washed off.
And it never will, I don't think. Man.
Probably not, as long as Thomas Dimitrov is here.
Exactly.
Because it, you know, Randy, fair or unfair, it's become his rep. He can't draft offensive linemen. Yeah, I mean, Jake was, like, that wasn't hard, right?
You had to take him at number six. He's the best old lineman in that class.
Right. I mean, you had him and Taylor. You had him and Taylor to pick from. Because Greg Robinson went two in that draft, right? And I didn't like Greg Robinson, and he certainly wasn't going to play left tackle in the NFL, Greg Robinson.
Wait, I mean, we just talked about him last segment. He started for the Browns.
Right.
He started for the Browns left tackle. Got him a new deal. Well, okay. 1 year deal, but yeah.
Okay, I hope he's gotten better.
Yeah, but I would love to see the Falcons try and find a successor to Mac, because if he goes down, do they got somebody to replace him?
They don't have Mike Person anymore, do they?
I mean,
Ben Garland, they don't
have those guys. So you got to find somebody that, if God forbid, something happens to this guy.
Who is the emergency center right
they
now?
They don't have one. I think, didn't Schweitzer play center? I mean, I think Schweitzer can play.
Oh, my gosh.
I think he can play.
I'd rather have Harper back at center.
But I'm like, where's your replacement for that? You look at the DN situation. We all know, okay, they picked up the option on Vic, so he's going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you can say what you want to say. The other guy got to play better, too. And he's a guy that, because we love his energy and we love it, the trash talk, and we love the dances after a sack and all that, Pat got to play better, too.
You saw what he said on Twitter.
Yeah, he's going to cut his hair. No matter what, I don't want to hear that. I want you to go get the sacks. You can keep your hair. Get the sacks and keep your hair. Nobody, cares about that.
Right. Again, I don't know what that means. You can wear whatever hairstyle you want if you got me 10 or 12 sacks.
I'm going to cut my hair if I don't get 10 sacks. I don't care about that.
Well, you and I talked on our show a couple of weeks ago about if this defense is going to get back to top 10 status, you have to have more than 12 sacks combined out of Vic and Tack this year. Because fair or unfair, Randy, those are your starters now. So that's locked in. You can chisel that in granite, whatever
Deal
you want to do. That's your two starters.
Deal with it.
We're past the league year, right?
Yep.
Vic ain't going nowhere, okay?
Now, Dan is working more hands-on with them, so whatever that means.
I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I mean, this is 1, 2, 3, the third defensive line coach since he's been in the league. So, I mean, Dan says he's going to be hands-on with him. Go ahead. But what makes you think that you're going to make him better? Because my thing is, after you've been in the league that long, you are who you are.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because the comparison always goes back to Jason Pierre-Paul, who had the one big year in his second year, two down years, and then in that fifth year, it went back up to 12 and a half.
And with all that being said, JPP's a better player than
I know Vic. That. We know that now. My point is, Randy, we know that now he's a better player.
Right.
My point is, going into his fifth year, I don't think anybody was thinking that Jason Pierre-Paul was ready to go get another 12 and a half sacks, because he'd gone like 4 and 5 and a half or something in back-to-back years, whether it was injury or things like that. But he just wasn't productive after that big year. The decent rookie year, great second year, two very regressed years, and then the fifth year it blew up. I'm just using him because of the trajectory of the career.
And I got you. That's also the same people that were doing the comparison between Vic and Dante Fowler and the money the Rams game Fowler. If you watched that playoff run and you watched Dante Fowler,
he was just fine.
He was fine. And if you watch when he hit Ezekiel Elliott in that game, when he came down the line and backside and blasted Zeke wasn't the same after that. He was effective. You could say the sack total over the career. I'm talking about when he got his opportunity, because what do we always say about defensive linemen? I need a guy that can go get me one.
Yeah.
All right. They're rushing down the field. They got us on our heels. We need to stop them to win this game. I need a guy to go get the quarterback.
Randy Mack, John Chuck, we're in the Kia Studios as we're talking some Falcons draft today. So we both agree, DT, DN, offensive like guard/center. We're exactly on the same page.
Yes.
Okay. That's you and I.
Uh-oh.
You think if I go up 85 that they would go that route?
It depends. It depends, because I know where you're about to go right here. Mm-hmm. What if one of those corners is there?
Shiny objects.
Yeah, what if one of those corners are there? Because they need a corner.
Or a safety.
Yeah, they need some guys.
Because they have to start thinking about the safety position. Whether that includes Keanu Neal or not, whether you've got Ricardo Allen, you know, in the long-term mix, you will have to start thinking about that position.
And
Brian Poole went to the Jets. You're going to have to start thinking about it.
Somebody's got to go there again.
Yeah. I know KZ's going to kind of play probably nickel, right?
He's going to be the nickel.
Okay.
Now, if they draft a first-round corner, who does that say more about, Trufant or Oliver?
Oliver.
It says a lot about Oliver, doesn't it? Because he's supposed to be your guy, right? He's supposed to be moved up. But you can also be drafting a guy. Because this is how I look at Dan's future here. He ain't got time to be thinking about 21, 22 salary cap.
No.
He got to think about right now.
Yep.
Because if he don't get it done in 19, he won't be here to see all that, what you're going to do with that cap space and all that.
Right. I agree with you. Look, but we know how this organization can be. And if that shiny – and when I say shiny object, guys, I'm talking about when you get away from the trenches and you start to get into corner safety, wide receiver, even running back and things like that. When those shiny objects are around, we like to go get guys like that. You know, we've waited till – you know, our offensive line drafts, Randy, are the – Wes Schweitzer's in the sixth and the Sean Harlow's in the fifth and undrafted and Ryan Schrader and where did they get Garland? Was he just a pickup guy? Was he like just a pickup guy off the street?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's where we go get a lot of these guys because our hand was forced, the Falcons' hand was forced with Alex Smith. That was the biggest no-brainer ever
is to go
dump truck money onto him and say, come play with us. And we got to the Super Bowl because of it. I hope they stick to the formula of as many guys along the line of scrimmage that you can get in there. Because whether even Randy, if you tell me, first of all, if they invest a second-round pick in a defensive end, you're not bringing Vic Beasley back at that point unless he just goes crazy.
But this is – what did we say? This is one of the deepest defensive line class we've ever seen. They're talking about they got multiple guys with first-round picks. First-round grades that are going to be second-round picks because of the need or whatever, you can still get a good player. And the one we can say we might not trust, Dan and Thomas with the O-line. I trust that Dan can coach you up a D-line because that's how he got his job. That's how he got his bones. That's how he got his his name in this league. But yeah, you're going to rely on young guys anyways because you need somebody. You need some more guys for depth. And we know that this roster is not complete because of. During training camp, guys get cut on that last cut, and you know, you can go out there and find somebody that can come in and give you some veteran presence there. Adrian Claiborne's out there. We know that he was here and he got that nice payday from New England because of the work he did here. Can you bring him back? He's familiar with your system. The guys know him. He's a rotational type player. But they got to get younger in the trenches of the offensive line. They need to get bigger in the interior of the defensive line.
Now let me ask you this. Would it surprise you if they go linebacker second or third round? Because outside of Deion, I don't know that Devondre Campbell is a guy that they'll be able to sign long-term. You know, when you start talking about all the guys that you have on your roster that you have to sign, he may be a casualty. And 42, I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, I thought the 42 might have had some opportunities to look better than he did last year. I thought he was better – when they put him inside at the middle position, I thought he was going to be better than he was. But, and then Lil Khan, he came and took his job. So, I mean, you look at the competition there. Duke Riley, he has everything you want in a linebacker. Big enough, can run. He just is always out of position.
I know.
He's always out of position.
Yeah.
It's like, you're like, okay.
His field awareness is not very good.
It's just bad.
Yeah, it is.
It's just bad. But he's a guy that you keep.
But how high of a priority is that position? I mean,
if you're looking at the fact that you might not be able to keep Devondre, you need to get younger there,
right?
You know, you need not necessarily younger. You need to get another player in there.
Well, roll it to this point. You talk about the win now, and I think we both agree that I don't think Dan, unless he's in the playoffs, is back next year.
I don't either.
I don't. You can tell me if they're 9-7 and they don't make the playoffs. I don't think it's above 5. I think it's playoffs that they have to be into. Is he even trying to worry about? I think he can get by with his linebackers. I need to go invest in my line of scrimmage because that's been my problem now.
Got something on Twitter that says, hey, Randy, they thought Deedon Sanaat was drafted. I thought Deedon Sanaat was drafted to backup grade. No, he was drafted to be your starter. No.
Not to be a backup.
He should be a starter.
So let's continue some Falcons talk here. You got O-line, tight ends. You got a lot of big bodies coming into the Falcons. Could the offensive approach be a little bit different this year in short yardage in the run game? We'll talk about that next. Randy Mack, John Chuck, we're in the Kia Studios after CBS Sports Minute. She serves them whiskey and wine. It makes us all the better, faster, stronger, all the make it better. Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Randy Mack, John Chuck, hanging out with you here today. College basketball fans. Hey, reminding you, we got our $1,000 bracket challenge. You want to go to the contest page at 929thegame.com. Sign up for 929 The Game's March Bracket Challenge. Choose your team's advance. Participant with the best overall bracket, Randy Mack, they are going to get a $1,000 Visa gift card.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Some fun with that. Can run up a good bar tab with that.
Do a lot of things with that.
Yeah.
Gift card, too?
Mm-hmm. Can't track it, trace it. Can get away with a lot.
I like it. Just saw something come across the line. Vontaze Burfict finally released. So the Bengals are like, hey, Marvin ain't there protecting no more.
Mm-hmm.
You bring him back. You want to be out? What'd you think about him being a Falcon?
Oh, he ain't coming here. We got a filter, man.
Oh, yeah, that's right, a Falcon filter.
Yeah.
But I mean, you need some crazy though, right?
I agree. I don't have a problem with that. As long as he can play.
Can he play?
Right.
When he's not headbutting people, can he play?
Right. that the idea, Randy, I don't mind crazy if you can play.
Yeah.
The problem is there's some guys that have crazy that can't play.
Yeah. It's scary.
Can he still play enough?
He can
still play. I think he can. Yeah. So I'd be okay with all that. So.
But you can't mess with the brotherhood, though. Remember that.
You can't mess with the brotherhood. Yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting. How does that go on Sunday? Anyway, never mind. Anyway, our Hunger Games index is high in here today. Anyway, so we just sharpened our iron, Mark. Anyway, some signings I think that are interesting, Randy, the way that this team is being constructed. We know the two offensive linemen that they brought in are guys whose reputation is more of being bigger, stronger guys, right? They don't come with that, you know, tag of zone blocking scheme kind of thing or whatever. They're considered bigger guys that can be more physical. Logan Paulson and now this Luke Stocker that have been signed. Paulson obviously coming back, Stocker being added to the mix. Two guys known to be more in that blocking mode. And I think the question that I have for you, Randy, is there has been such a difficult time the last bunch of years for the Atlanta Falcons as a short yardage team. Is this a real sign that the philosophy of no more shotgun, empty backfield, four wide on third and two, those days are trying to be over up in Flowery Branch?
I mean, that's a message that you're sending when you go out and make the acquisitions they did. They made an upgrade at the guard, but they got two bigger guys that you say, yeah, James Carpenter, he's played a little bit in the stretch when he's in Seattle, but he's more of a mauler, downhill gap, you know, double team, pull guy. And that's the same thing with Jamon Brown. But, yeah, you go get the tight ends. I mean, they're trying to keep Hoop as far away from being the point as they can right there when you go out and get two of these guys. And I'll go back, and when Dan, during their Super Bowl run, when Tammy was, when he was still healthy and he had Torlolo and those guys, you know what? One of the personnel that gave teams problem was their 13 personnel when they went with the three tight ends and Julio Jones. You remember Seattle? It killed Seattle.
Right.
And they had some success with it against Denver, I think it was. And so when you have that type of those type of people in that room, that lets you, that can do different things where you don't always have to get in three wides on third down to throw the football. You can do something with the different tight ends. But this sounds to me that Dan is all about, we're going downhill at people. They're still going to be an outside zone scheme. But when you bring in Malark and you bring in Cutter, it kind of, you're going to add some stuff to it, add dimensions to it that you didn't run last year. And I'm with you on there. I mean, our best short yardage back was Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, having to run the Wildcat every time, Randy, you're third and short. And two, Randy, does it not more fit the playing personalities of what Devontae Freeman and Brian Hill are?
Yeah.
To let them run north-south and take, you know, get away from blockers and take defenders off of them, because also nothing more frustrating than watching Tevin Coleman running behind the line and taking 2 and 3 yard losses.
Yes.
Because and I get, you can tell me about the quality of the offensive line and things like that, but that's not completely his game, is to line up behind guys and just go run right ahead and knock blockers off him, or
he's
knock defenders off him. Yeah.
He's a slasher, but you know, and you also, you got to go get your fullback. If you're talking about trying to upgrade this, and then you look at Stocker, he's played in that, he's been a move tight end where he's lined up in the backfield, mm-hmm. and we know that Paulson can do it. If you go find you a fullback, because with when you go get those guards like that, you're saying this, I'm bringing guys in that can move guys against their will. Yeah, no, they're not the most athletic, and yeah, they might have some trouble getting up to the second level on the backside cutoff, whatever. But you know what? That guy in front of him, he's going to move him out of my way. He's going to move out of the way, and we're going to run, and we're going to go forward from that. So I like the moves. And, you know, the two guards you bring in, they're not world beaters, but they're better than what you have.
Yeah, it's an upgrade, right?
You know, they're better than what you
have. But this goes back to what we talked about. They weren't going to shop at Whole Foods. They had to go get some guys that fit within a budget. I mean, notice that as soon as they got Matt's money moved around to free up cap space.
They went and got two guards.
Exactly.
They
had their names on their list of, okay, these are the two guys that we can go get. And not that you wanted to go get – was there anybody really that – on the interior offensive line that was really that kind of stud kind of high-priced guy?
The number one was Roger Saffold. He ended up signing with Tennessee. I mean, Roger's okay. He's not a world beater. He's okay. But, no, it's all about and when we say all in, no, they're all in. Because if you're going to bet on somebody, you will bet on yourself first. Dan's betting on himself.
Oh,
I'm going to coach this defense up. I went and removed, and I went and got – three former head coaches on the offensive side of the ball. So I'm going to let Dirk Cutter and Mike Mularkey and those guys are going to take care of the offense. I'm going to sit over here with the defense and work on this. And this is how we're going to do it right now, because if they don't make the playoffs, this could be his last year.
Randy McMichael, John Chuckery in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92 in the game as we talk about the Falcons and has there been some change in the offensive philosophy and approach about short yardage. Does y'all's guy, Eric Saubert, have any kind of role?
It's looking like it's limited.
It
looks like it's limited because, very rarely do you have a room with four tight ends. Now, I've been in a room with four tight ends before.
Is he valuable enough to be a special teams player?
I mean, the one thing, what do we know about Saubert? He can run. He's a big dude that can run. Now, it's all about what he does when he gets to the finishing point of when he's running. Like, if he's going to tackle somebody or if he's running to catch a ball or whatever like that.
Or not pick up any blocks.
Or not pick
teams.
Up any blocks, you know. But here's the thing with Stocker. Stocker, you look at him more as a blocking tight end, but he has some receiving abilities. Mm-hmm. And so you don't completely lose what you might gain in the passing game with Saubert as you leave him here. So, yeah, again, Dan is looking at it. It's all about it's all on me. And the one thing we know about Saubert is he ain't a physical guy. You know, he gets pushed back. He's had some grass stains on the back of his jersey a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Especially on special teams.
Yeah, especially on – so yeah, there's makes coverage, no sense. It makes no sense to keep him. And, again, I've been in a room with four tight ends only once. One. So you usually don't keep four. I've been in a room where you only have two, so –
Yeah, I don't know how long he is for this franchise, but we'll see. You know, I know there were guys that thought maybe he should start after. Anyway, Hashtag Izzy wills it. What? Hey, I don't understand.
Hey, man, don't be cutting up in front of
what
company,
happened?
All right?
Oh.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, they probably don't know back there.
No, they don't know about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you thought Wendy was lost on Riggs and Murtaugh, she's really lost on what I just said there. The other part of this, too. So we know Jake is going to start at left tackle.
Right.
We know Alex Mack starts at center. Tyson Braille is your starting right tackle.
Oh, yes.
How do those two interior – are these two guys – because they're keeping Fusco, right?
They are.
And he starts, right?
No.
Oh, he's backing up now.
Who, Fusco?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know it ain't Wes. Wes ain't starting.
Oh, No. Yeah.
But both those new guys you think are guaranteed – are locked in as your two starters right now.
Yeah.
There's no competition.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
But I'm saying, no, I think they're locked in right now.
Okay.
But I think you –
So what are you saying?
You're gonna allow Fusco to compete for both spots, but no, those two guys are the starters. You paid them that kind of money.
But Fusco's not cheap, though, is he? I mean,
he ain't as expensive as those guys.
Well, there ain't much difference, is there?
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Okay.
Yeah, Fusco's right around $2-3 million. But I'm saying, no, those two guys, Brown and Carpenter, are your two guys that's gonna start inside interior. What'd you think?
I was trying to see what his.
You thought they would bring them with all that money and then they'd still compete for the job? No.
Well, I mean. Isn't that why you kept Fusco and all that? I mean, you're just keeping him for – Fusco's almost $5 million on the cap.
Okay, and he can still be removed, but I mean, he's still injured. So you don't know. But, no, I think you signed those two guys to be starters, right? You didn't give him that kind of money to be a backup because we were talking about the same thing. Why would you keep Schrader? Remember that conversation?
Yeah, but Schrader's also $8 million, of which you could save about half of that. I mean,
but I'm just saying. I think
and by the way, you – At this point, if Schrader's not playing right tackle, he doesn't really have anything, right?
But, again, I think you sign those two guys. One you sign to a three-year deal, one you sign to a four-year deal. You don't really sign backups to those kind of deals, do you?
I don't think.
No, you don't. Ain't no think in. No, you don't.
But Fusco's got – what's the length? I was trying to see what his contract is.
He signed like a three-year, 11 mil or something like that. It was somewhere
He's got this year and next year,
right.
And then in 2021. So he's got two – counting this year, he's got two more seasons with you. Okay. No, it's fine. I mean, I'm not
– Did you think they brought him in to compete with Fusco?
I thought maybe there'd be some competition to nail down I thought Fusco would be in the mix to nail down one of those spots. They brought him in last year with a lot of hoopla because
he
played in that system.
He played in that system.
Yes,
we know. He's a system guy.
Yeah.
But, no, I think you signed those two guys to be your starters. Because even when Fusco got – even though Fusco – and he didn't play bad last year.
No.
But you remember what Dan said?
Hurt all
you remember, yeah, but you remember what Dan said? I got trusted in the left tackle and the center. So he was looking for three new starters. And I think he put Fusco in that mix of needing to replace him as a starter.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But he also said Ryan Schrader was going to compete for a spot, remember?
Again, something I didn't understand. Either he was starting, he was gone.
There are some pretty staggering dead cap monies in the NFL. I mean, teams are really willing to roll the dice on getting rid of guys. I want Randy's thoughts about why teams are willing to eat a bunch of money just to get moved on from a guy. It's Randy Mack. It's John Chukri hanging out in the Key Studios. Ain't no mountain high enough for us to climb. We'll be back. Sports Radio 910 The Game. Don't have to worry. Sports Radio. Randy Mack, John Chukri, Yacht Rocking their way through another Monday for you.
This is Yacht Rock?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
come on. This is the very definition of Yacht Rock.
No, I just remember this was a beat for a song on Biker Boys. Never mind.
Yeah.
It's over your head, too.
Yeah.
But no, yeah. Okay,
are they from the Six?
Yeah, this is.
Hey, you caught me off guard there. This hour is brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance. In the Key Studios with you till 2 o'clock today. Randy Mack, a very interesting trend going on in the NFL right now, something that we've never really seen before, where teams are willing to just, I mean, dump truck fulls of dead money. Look at teams like the Dolphins with $36 million, the 49ers at $13 million. The Cardinals, is that the Cardinals? I can't even read that. Cardinals at $22 million. The Giants, how big is that? What is that number? Man, my eyes are that bad. I can't literally see. You got teams like the Broncos at $22 million. We know how much the Steelers are at, like $23, almost $24 million. Giants are $33 million. And it's because of these high market guys that after – like Odell Beckham, give him a big contract, we're done a year later. Why is this trend all of a sudden happening that teams are – Randy, it's one thing, $33, $25 million
some
dead
these,
money?
Some of these guys' cap is bigger, you know, is more than
if they were under contract.
Yeah, so you look at what's going on with when you look at what's going on with right now in the NFL, they're just paying guys to get rid of them, man. They really are. They get to a point where, Dave Gettleman, who is the Giants GM, came on. He finally spoke to me. Said the Browns gave him an offer he couldn't refuse. And all that, and you know, and it was best for the football team. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen you take so much dead cap and then give the player his way. I think Odell wanted to be in Cleveland with his homeboy Juice Landry and all those guys.
But why extend him then?
That's what I don't understand. Why not franchise him? Because he probably still could have got the same deal.
Yeah.
If they want Odell that bad, you could have got the same kind of deal for it. That's the same thing with Antonio Brown. You went ahead and reworked the contract to get more dead money, but yet you get rid of him.
Right.
And then you send him somewhere where he kind of wins. That's what I'm saying. Everybody's like, well, yes, they won. They won. And now you're sitting there. And it's so hard to build a team to move on when you got that kind of money just sitting there, not even doing that. Like, you can't do nothing with that money. It's just sitting there. It just sits there.
No. And I mean, you know, the Steelers took the single biggest cap hit on a player in history. But are you telling me that they didn't understand enough about AB to know that they were ready to move on a year or two ago him? Or just they were rolling the dice and hoping for a Super Bowl?
I'd have been ready to move on after the Kansas City thing. That's just me. I've been ready to move on after that. But, I mean, he's such a great player, and it didn't get any better from there. And if you look at all the talent they had when he was there and him and Le'Veon with the height of their powers, what'd he give him? Nothing.
Right.
What'd he give him? The closest they got to the Super Bowl, when they went up to New England, then what happened? Le'Veon gets hurt. And then they find a way to take Antonio Brown away, and they can't win. If I give you all this money, I can't win with you. Why am I giving you all this money?
Is that basically a sign that a team is, for lack of a better word, in rebuild mode? I mean, if you're the Giants and you've got $34 million.
No. You can't be in rebuild mode and you still got Eli as your quarterback. You just gave him $5 million bonus.
They can't afford to cut Eli either.
You know, you went and traded for you can't tell me that you're rebuilding and you won't move on from the quarterback. I love Eli Manning. He is great for what he did to the Giants. And I was mad last year when they benched him because they benched him for Geno Smith. I wasn't mad because they want to try the other young quarterback. I've been fine with it.
No, but that was we're going to stop your streak
exactly.
And all
that. That was you know what I'm saying? So that's why I didn't like that. But, no, it's time to move on from Eli. And because he's a man and he gets this extra – you know, he gets this extra benefit of the doubt. No, Eli's play has fallen off what, last 5 years?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
no question.
You know, and it's noticeable.
Right.
So, I mean.
But at the same time, Randy, you can't cut everybody at once.
I agree with that.
I mean, you think you got $34 million now? Start cutting Eli Manning, yeah. I mean, with whatever's left on his deal.
I agree with that. And I think this is Eli's last year. Are you ready to move on from him?
Because. Well, if you're ready to move on from Landon Collins and Odell Beckham Jr., then you got to be ready to move on from Eli Manning,
yeah,
right?
Right or wrong, yeah.
Because he ain't in the prime of what those two guys
exactly.
are.
Exactly. I mean, you get rid of your best offensive player and your best defensive player, but you keep the old quarterback.
Yeah, I think it's just attrition. I think he's the – I just – you know, Collins obviously became a piece that they could – I guess they
move
don't want to pay and said, okay, we'll move on. Odell is the strange one because –
You just gave him a contract,
yeah,
and then you come out and
yeah.
say we didn't sign him to trade him. And I swear, when this was my guy Jay Glazer, when he first broke this and said something about this, I said, why would you get rid of him? That's what I was like. I'm not in the business of getting rid of good football players. And this cancer in the locker room thing, it's not a cancer locker room because his teammates love him. This is you in the front office, and you like, okay, this guy, he's bigger than the team as far as his persona.
You don't think Eli wouldn't like to have him over
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
Now
would.
Who's their one? Sterling?
Sterling's a three at best, okay?
But is he moving to one?
He better not move to one.
Well, who's their number
they
one?
Got Golden Tate. They get Golden Tate money.
Oh,
like,
that's right, yeah.
You know I get Golden Tate, but yeah, you're rebuilding. Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Randy Mack, John Chuck, we're in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 910 The Game. Don't forget, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. It is an interesting trend. Now, you know, we always talk about the Falcons in this situation. You know, they're at $5 million, which is a respectable number. That's pretty low compared to most of these teams. It is the one thing that Thomas Dimitrov, you know, if you want to hang your hat, Randy, on the things that really we do well as an organization,
right.
It's not getting ourselves in jeopardy with dead players that just eat up money. Because think about how mad as a fan you would be. You know, we already didn't have money. And part of that's because the good teams don't have a lot of money. Okay.
Correct.
But at the same time, Randy, you can't be New Orleans and start saying, okay, well, next year $41 million is going to go to Drew Brees.
But they're not worried about that right now. You can't worry about that when you're in a position where the Saints are right now. They are built to win. Drew is not getting any younger. They have got to find a way to put players and put some good players around him. Because if you look at the last 2 years of them in the NFC Championship game, you got the thing what happened with the Rams, and then you got what happened with Minnesota.
I feel bad.
I mean,
for
the
him.
Last 2 years in the playoffs. I know you ain't feeling bad for him. I'm not feeling bad for him. I'm just saying they have got to find a way to get over the hump in Drew's last 1 or 2 years. Next year, if he decides to come back and he's hitting at 47, you know what they're going to do? They're going to try to find a way to rework it
and push it
back again.
I was going to say, if he's got two more years, Randy, his final year would be a $74 million cap hit. Whatever the cap is,
you,
his
it,
entire contract will be what the cap is next in 2 years.
I promise you, before he leaves, whenever he decides to hang it up and go ahead and retire, he's going to have over 50, close to $60 million.
Close. Oh, gosh.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, how much has Drew Brees made now, you think? I mean, he's got to be one of the top players of all time, right?
Yeah. Who, Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's got to be up there.
Well, I know Eli, after this year, he will be the highest paid ever.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes,
Eli will be
that.
The highest paid ever.
Because Julius Peppers is the highest earning non-quarterback
yes.
in the history of the league. But it is crazy when you think about, and typically organizations, Randy, that you wouldn't think like the Giants and Steelers mm-hmm. that would put themselves in such a, because now the Steelers look and you say, they can't go do anything. They can't do anything. And, Randy, 12 months ago at this time, they were a favorite to be a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
They were a Super Bowl bust kind of franchise.
But where they are, though, is that I think eventually before beginning of the season, they're going to extend Ben, get him some more cap relief, taking the 14 mil off of Le'Veon, that gives you some help. But, yeah, I mean, you're sitting there and like, okay, this past offseason, we've seen two players and traded away, and they're talking about the dead money's largest in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
And this ain't going to stop. It's going to let you know that, hey, teams are willing to deal with it, man. They really are, because they look at it as they're looking at it as, we're not going to let you win. We're not going to let you run our organization. We're still, the name on the side of the helmet is still bigger than you.
But you know what? You say that, and they still reward those guys.
Yeah. AB got it. I mean, he winning. When I got a new contract.
Well, Drew Rosenhaus winning, too.
Well, that's my guy.
Yeah.
Drew's
winning real good. Well, it was a lot of meh in Mercedes-Benz yesterday. Atlanta United, you know, kissing your sister kind of tie, I guess. We'll talk about all that now. What?
Kissing your sister?
Yeah.
Oh, we're back. We're bad. You're black. I'm mad.
Oh, yeah. To Riggs and Mertzall, the radio. Randy Mack, John Chuckery, hanging out with you in the Kia Studios. You like that, Mark? I hit the post on that and everything. Come on, Star 94. Get my audition tape together. 404-741-0929 for Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. By the way, too, sometime in the next 30 minutes or so, you're going to hear a sounder for Travis Scott. You got a chance to win a couple of tickets to see him coming up on March 22nd, on Friday, March 22nd at State Farm Arena. So when you hear that sounder, be sure to be the ninth caller, 404-741-0929. Ninth caller, 404-741-0929. Don't forget, we're streaming online. Go to 929thegame.com. We got some of the stuff that we've been hitting on all day long up there as well. Wendy's been putting up stuff. So if there's something that you missed on the show, please check out the moments that we have up there. Download your radio.com app to your phone, tablet, Walkman, record player, boombox, whatever you got out there. That way you can listen to us all on the go. All of our social media at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. Randy Mack on Twitter at RandyMack81. I am on Twitter at JMCH316. You guys want to interact, it's a great way to do it, to keep up with what we've got going on for the show today. Well, there was a lot of meh at Mercedes-Benz last night.
That it was.
As MLS action, Atlanta United and the Philadelphia Union tie at 1-1. Not a lot to get excited about. Coming off the win against Monterey, and there were some good moments in it, Randy. And I still go back, and we asked Jason Longshore this yesterday about how much that Monterey was, what Atlanta United was doing versus Monterey knew, as long as we don't give up three or four goals,
we're good.
We're moving on to CONCACAF.
Well,
I know that's not a popular way to think about it.
It's not a popular way to think about it, but it is kind of a reality. But you can't take away how well they did play and how well they did look against Monterey. And the question that we talked about on our show after that was, what would be the mood if they didn't go out and beat win this game about last night? And what I saw was same old, man. I mean, it was.
What did you say, by the way, against FC Cincinnati and Philadelphia Union? What were you expecting?
I was expecting to put foots in them.
Yeah.
I really was. I really was expecting that. And you see some semblance of, you still see some of the excitement, but yet it's still lacking. And we'll go back, we'll just chalk it up to the 7 games, 24 days, fine. But yet still, even with all that being said, they still just don't look comfortable. You know, at any aspect of this new scheme, Frank DeBoer, whatever they're doing, they just don't seem there. And a lot of it, they lost their point guard. You know, they lost the point guard in Miguel Abaron, and now they're trying to figure out who's going to take that role or if we can collectively make up for that. Because I look at PT, I think he can ball. I really do. He can ball. I mean,
you can see that.
You can see that. Yes, you can see that he can ball. That cross he had to Yosef yesterday was beautiful. He's got to finish it off. But something's missing. You know what I'm saying? Something is missing.
Well, you're not the only one. Goaltender Brad Guzan, Randy, listen to this. Obviously, something's not clicking the way it probably clicked last year. So that's on us as a team and a group to try and find that and figure that out. Of course, there's a bit of frustration. We knew going into the season it wasn't going to be easy. So we've got to make sure we use the next 2 weeks and make sure we're ready when we go to Columbus. I think we need to have a bit more bite about us and a bit more intensity. You can talk about the amount of games, excuse me. You can say what you want, but it goes back to what I said. When you cross the right line, you've got to compete. And I know it's kind of a scapegoat in some ways about how heavy the schedule was.
Right.
But this is what you guys wanted, too, though. You want to be in CONCACAF. You want to advance. You want to be international brand. You can't have it both ways. I mean, and we said about if you're not going to win CONCACAF, it's okay to get knocked out early.
Right.
You know, and instead of logging a bunch of games just to not move along in the season. Well, the reality is now you've gotten 7 matches under your belt. You're going to get some breaks coming up on here. Better really use that time wisely now because it's time to get better and time to get back to, okay, we're now everything is defend the MLS Cup.
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be because the CONCACAF is no longer a goal that they can reach. But, yeah, then you got PT and Yosef, and I think it's Villalba. I think they're all going for – they're going to
yes, they're an international
play.
Yeah. And in fact, Yosef and Petey are going to compete against each other.
I heard Johnny Hewitt John said that this morning. And my thing is, those are the two of the guys that you need the most work together. You know what I'm saying? And no, and don't get me wrong, it's an honor to play for your country. I get all that, but those are two guys that we all keep saying are the two guys that probably need the most time together right now. You're talking about training and all that, but yeah, there's just something missing, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that we were spoiled by them because they came out the gate, even though they didn't win the whole thing when they first came in, it was still fun, and they had the attention of everybody, and even the people that never really went to a soccer game or watched soccer, they came because what a goal is,
right?
You know what
exactly.
a goal is, you know.
Right.
So you might not know everything
right.
else.
You don't know 3-4-3s and all that kind of stuff. But
you know,
you know
what a goal is, right. And you know that the crowd is cheering, and you yep. know that squad over there, the five stripes, are going up and down the field really fast.
Well, they also had a lot of self-inflicted wounds with some of their play and their errors. Here's manager Frank DeBoer talking about those.
And then you see that we just missing that little bit freshness, you know, to make the difference. To get that pass to the right man or at the right speed and everything, or that first control. So we make still too many errors when it's not necessary, in my point of view.
They really don't feel like the same passing team that they were last year, do they, Randy? I mean, to me, they just that you look and see you're off by just a little bit.
Yes.
You're off by just a little bit there.
You see a couple of careless passes sometimes,
yeah.
you know. And
Making turnovers
mm-hmm. and those things. But, again, they're going to have some time. They're going to have some time to rest. I think one of the most important things they need to do is rest. You know, they need to rest
right.
up a little bit and find a way to, you know, to get this thing rolling, because you don't want what happened to Toronto, you don't want it to look like it's happening to us.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Remember how bad Toronto
yes.
was?
And because they put their eggs in the CONCACAF. And I know they had injuries and
yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
I get all that, and that is true. But you don't want that kind of stigma over
right.
this squad where they took CONCACAF and then they ran themselves out of gas too early in the
right.
season and didn't have enough to finish off. But we know MLS season is a long time.
But also, Randy, though, at the same time, you say about the heavy legs and stuff, shouldn't that be more reason to want to get out front early and put some teams away early? We talked about, like, FC United, or no, not FC, Cincinnati FC. Go out there and beat them down early and make your substitutions and bring some other guys in. Just go get your 3 points. Don't let them linger and just be done. And then give some guys some rest at that point.
I think they were trying to do that, John. But the other team, it just wasn't working like that. I mean, I'm sure they want to get out and beat down people. But
they were beat 4-1 8 days before we played them.
It's all about – yes, they were, actually. But it's all about – you know, Cincinnati was beat down, too, by Seattle in their
yeah.
first game. But when you're looking at how they want to possess the ball, I get the possession, but possessing to do what? Are you just possessing just to possess it? Are we going to attack? I mean, there's so many different layers to this team. And I still remember when it came down as Frank DeBoer was going to be the manager of the squad, and so many people were like, well, he has a lot of the same concepts as Tata does, so it shouldn't be a big adjustment. Well, obviously, it's a big adjustment than you thought it was going to be, because this ain't working so far. And I'm not going to sit there and call for the man's job, because it's still early.
No, no, no.
It's still early.
No.
But
Randy, I think we both expected
a little bit better.
More than 2 goals in yeah. 2 home games and more than 2 points against Cincinnati and Philly, right?
I know I did. And then you saw that energy when Yosef scored early against Cincinnati. You thought, hey, it's going to be a wrap.
Yeah.
And then nothing.
It's funny because you can even feel the crowd when that tide looks like it's turning for Atlanta United. That crowd intensity starts getting
yes,
up.
It does.
And 17s are in it, and you can feel it. I mean, even through the TV, you can feel the energy in that building
coming
through.
When Barco scored yesterday, you felt it.
Yes,
again.
Exactly.
You felt it.
Again. Even like when Yosef hit the post, you know,
yeah,
you're like, okay, you know, we're getting there, you know, and you can feel that crowd wanting to get into it, and then that action just kind of dies down.
Yes, and then you hear the crowd trying to get it back in there,
right.
But as much as you know, you can feed off the crowd. You got to give them something to
right.
you know, to cheer about.
And by the way, they went a long time yesterday without a shot on goal. You know that, right?
That's what I'm saying. You're possessing it, but what the heck are you doing with the possession? I mean, it's just not a good fit right now. And hopefully, with this time off, they can find a way to get it fixed, because they are too talented to look like this.
Randy Mack, John Chuckery in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 910 The Game as we talk about Atlanta United's 1-1 tie yesterday with Philadelphia. Here's Julian Gressel giving his thoughts as well.
Obviously, would have liked to start this break off with a win and go into this whole thing with 3 points and ultimately 4 in MLS. But unfortunately, the result wasn't there. But I think, you know, our energy was good.
I mean, what else are they supposed to say? I mean, I give Guzan credit. At least he's trying to say, hey, man, no real excuses. We gotta get it going.
We got to get it going.
Now, here's what I'm going to ask you, though, Randy. Mm-hmm. Because I heard how important it was for them to get in game action to become together. Now I'm hearing how important it is to have practice time together. So which is it?
I think it's more – I honestly think it has to be practice because that's how you're going to figure out who plays where and who does what best in your system. So I think it has to come in practice. But now you're saying – two of your best players, the two guys who we keep on saying, these two guys have got to get on the same page if we're going to get to where we want to go, are not going to be here for a while. But I'm not really worried. I'm not worried about Yosef because, I mean, the dude's a stud.
Right.
It's about PT and him trying to find his niche and his way in this system and everything because you see when he's one-on-one, this dude is so special.
Yep.
When you look at some of the shots that he takes on goal from so far away, you're thinking they're all going in the way the ball is bending. I mean, the guy got the goods.
But you did see an energy pickup with Barco yesterday, too.
I mean, he didn't start. He came on, and he looked good. I mean, even though you almost wrecked his career.
I think I fixed him now.
You know, you wrecked his career with your song, but, I mean, he came
in. I mean, it got so bad for him, he had to change his hair color.
Yeah, I mean, but he came out, and he had that spark that they needed, and he scored the goal. And
beautiful header.
I mean, it was unbelievable. But yet, that wasn't enough because – once that happened, like you said, that energy came through the TV and the fans are cheering. You're thinking, okay, here we go. Then again, it goes back to the same old slowed down pace.
Right now in the point standings, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Atlanta United is ninth with their 2 points. They're actually -2 in MLS play.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, does that not feel right?
Because we're not used to it.
I know.
That's the thing about it. When you're not used to something, we're used to this team being successful.
I didn't really think about that until
we're used to that.
We lost 3-1, 1-1, 1-1, right?
Yeah. Wow. We're used to that. We're used -2 to that Benz rocking, you know, and not saying that it wasn't. But, I mean, this is new territory. It's new territory. That's why I'm not ready to throw in the towel. And, you know, man, I don't know where he is, if he'll be in, but he'll be in the middle. My man Mike Bell is – he's salty right now, so.
Yeah.
He's real salty.
Yeah, he was putting selfies out left and right at the game.
He's really salty right now.
Now, Columbus, the next match coming up. They're right now tied with DC United, Randy, for the most points in the East. They are a +3, by the way, in goal differential, which is tied for second best in the East. And Columbus is always a pretty good team, you know. But, you know, that's where I think that's where some people are starting to have concern, you know, and looking at social media. I think some people are worried about when we do start to play the better teams, not just the FC Cincinnati's and the Philadelphia Unions.
Right.
When the better team, because Philadelphia wasn't very good coming into this.
They weren't. And again, they were having trouble scoring, but.
Yes.
You know.
And they were using the line, well, we've created chances, but we're not scoring. Because they'd been outscored 5-1 in their first two matches.
Right.
And their line had been, in reading about them last week, their line had been, we're creating chances, but we're just not finishing. Yeah. I don't know what that means. But,
I don't either. But and then the goal they scored, it was like, okay, LGP's there. It just, like, it did it deflect off his leg? Gazan, I mean, it didn't look like Gazan had a shot at that anyways. But, I mean.
he got flat-footed.
Yeah, he got
ricocheted off the shin or whatever.
Yeah, he just had no shot. And it's one of those, you're like, well, damn.
Yeah.
They got me on that one.
Yeah.
But, I
mean, because he just fell straight down. Yeah. He did the nasty plunge.
It was kind of funny, too.
Yeah, it was. Because he did the nasty plunge. He just went straight back.
It was a little funny.
He knew because, I mean, that ball caromed and there was no way to play. And by the way, that was, what, 60 seconds into the second half.
They scored fast.
Yeah.
They scored fast.
It was quick.
But, yeah,
it was
the energy level has got to get back. But, again, if you're not in the right – if you're not putting yourself or your team in position to play a way that they've been successful, because you've seen flashes of it this year. You know, when they came back to Kennesaw, I mean, you were like, they weren't playing no games. It was all about And then the last leg of the game here, Monterey, you kind of saw that. Now again, we can put it to where Monterey was sitting back like, hey, we just don't give up 4 goals,
right?
And we'll be straight,
right?
You know, so
yeah, especially flying up to Atlanta and all that. Just you know, do what you got to do to advance, because at that point you're just trying to advance.
Yeah, that's
you're just trying to get through and all that. Good news is that I know some fans don't want to hear it. It's still early yet. We're obviously very early into MLS season. It's just it's you know, when you I always say this about different sports, is that especially like in the NFL, you know, when you don't take care of your business sometimes against some of these other teams, And now you're 13, 14 games into the season, and mm-hmm. you look back and say, wow, Randy, if we could have won that game or we could have won this game or what have you, you look back, take even in baseball. Wow, you know, we really stunk it up this series, that series. And sometimes it comes down to that last game or two where, boy, if you took care of some of your business earlier in the year, you took some of these bad teams mm-hmm. and you took care of business, you're not having to worry about maybe fighting, scratching, clawing as hard as the season gets toward the end.
And that's the way it's looking right now. You know, let's just hope this time off helps this squad because they got to figure out something, man. Because this is it's beginning to a point where it's unacceptable. And their ceiling is always championship, right?
Oh, championship or bust. Yeah. No, there's no question about that at this point. No. They were the favorites coming in. They're supposed to still be the favorites. When we get back, time for some NCAA tourney talk. We'll talk about the top seeds, any kind of things to look out for as you get ready to fill out your bracket. Riggs and Murtaugh, the radio. Randy Mack, John Checker in the Key Studios after a CBS Sports Morning. Back in the Key Studios, Randy Mack, John Chuckery, hanging out with you here till 2 o'clock. Hey, this segment brought to you by Strayer University. Let's get it! I want to give congratulations out to Joseph down the south side in Riverdale. He's won a pair of tickets, Randy, to see Travis Scott live in concert at State Farm Arena on Friday, March 22nd.
Good job.
Yeah, don't miss seeing the Travis Scott Astroworld Wish You Were Here tour. Travis Scott tickets currently available at LiveNation.com. How white was that? Was that as milk toast as it could possibly be?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, I'll let you do the read next time.
So. Well, I was laughing because I was like, you didn't know.
I wasn't even. I'm just trying to get us to break, to be honest with you. Two things I was trying to do. I was trying to get us to break and trying to go eat because I was getting hungry.
Yeah.
I just wanted something to eat. I'll get my normal lunch break.
A little hungry myself right now.
Yeah. So there'll be some chicken and spinach. Well, Randy, the NCAA tournament field is set. Field of 68 set now, and no real controversies. Your number one seeds, obviously, Duke, Gonzaga, Virginia, UNC. You know, we talked yesterday on our show, kind of thought, you know, potentially three ACC teams. You and I really believe that Gonzaga had to be one of the number one seeds. I mean, yeah. I understand they lost a tournament. 29-2 is 29-2 at the end of the day. So, and especially the way Tennessee got beat down like a drum. Give me some early thoughts about what you see. Maybe Final Four, who you like.
Well, my Final Four, I got Duke, Florida State, Tennessee, and Kentucky. I think the only way I see Duke getting beat, as bad as they do shoot, is if Zion gets in foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That's I agree.
Put him on the bench.
Yeah, I think that's got to be the way you beat them. Still, I just look at you know, Virginia, and I got to go into the Elite Eight and get beat because I just don't think – I think they're going to beat Oklahoma. I don't think UC Irvine or Oregon can beat Virginia. I think Virginia just naturally better than them, and I don't think they're going to let what happened to them last year happen again.
No, I mean, the top half of that bracket
– yeah, it's bare. It's not very good.
I mean, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Oregon, K-State.
Yeah, it's not a great bracket for that. North Carolina is an interesting one because – you know, I think they should just walk through, you know, where they're going. But can they beat Kentucky? I think they can beat Kentucky, but for some reason, I like Kentucky in this matchup.
Yeah, I do too. I've actually got Duke, Florida State, Villanova, and Kentucky.
Well, you're
Duke
big on the Villanova. I mean, Jay Scott, I mean.
You want to bet against those guys? I know they're not as good as what they've been over the last few
years. No, because they lost players.
They just rolled right through the Big East tournament and took care of business and found a way to get it done even with all the things going against them, Randy, they found a way to go win the Big East again this year. I'll take Duke, Kentucky with Duke winning the whole thing. Now, locally here, Randy, we do in the Midwest bracket.
Yes.
Georgia State, congrats to Ron Hunter in that group. And I think I just saw a tweet saying he's going to be on with Dukes and Bell. Yeah, it says here, special time in studio Monday at 4:40 with Dukes and Bell. So shout out to Georgia State and getting a chance to play in the Midwest bracket of the tournament. They'll take on, as they're the number 14 seed, the number 3 seed Houston. That's a tough matchup. I mean, obviously, anytime it's 14-3 is going to be a tough matchup. But Houston, I think, a better club than probably some people realize. Abe?
Another experienced club with Kelvin Sampson. You know how good a basketball coach he is. If he can just stay on the telephone, he'll be all right.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, if he can stay on the telephone, he's...
How many programs he trying to run on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just stay on the phone. But no, and they're a veteran team that got off to that hot start, lost their first home game. I think it was UCF beat them in that nationally televised game. But They got guys that have been there, done that. And I think that, you know, as much as we want, and I do want to see Georgia State win and upset the apple cart. What do we know about? What do we always talk about? You know, you love this weekend because there's so many of those upsets and game and buzzer beaters. But I want to see Duke, North Carolina. I want to see Duke, Techie. I want to see, you know.
You like to see the big ones. You want to see those heavyweights. Guys. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And then if they get past that game, it's the winner of the Ohio State-Iowa State matchup. You know, Iowa State obviously winning the Big 12 tournament, but they've been, you know, they haven't exactly set the world on fire this year themselves. But, and Ohio State's always has been a mess, too.
I took Iowa State over Houston.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I actually did.
Think they continue that run?
Let's hope so. I picked them. I mean, but my bracket's in pencil, so I can change it anytime.
Right. I mean, you got till Sunday of next week, so yeah, yeah. So you're in good shape. I don't believe in Auburn. I would tell you, and we had Jerry Palm on a couple of weeks ago. Jerry Palm.
Mm-hmm.
We had him on. What?
Go ahead. Go ahead. He's not here for you to take shot at him. So go ahead.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead. So we had Jerry Palm on a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember? He was talking about New Mexico State as a good team that might be a tough out for somebody. If they beat, I wouldn't be surprised they beat Auburn. I mean, you talk about that 12-5 matchup.
I got them beating Auburn.
Okay.
They're going to beat Auburn.
I think Auburn, I was going to say shot the J, but I was going to say shot something else. But they shot everything they had in the SEC tournament.
It's fool's gold,
I forgot,
man.
This is daytime weekday radio.
Yeah, we can't do that. Yeah, we can't say that.
We don't say that for the weekends.
Yeah. I mean, I got.
And there's a lady in the house too.
I got Michigan State. I mean, that was a little bit of the uproar this morning was them being the 2 seed in this bracket with Duke. But I mean, hey, if you ain't scared,
stop with the Michigan State salty about they had to play in Duke's bracket. First of all, you're not going to see them to the Elite Eight, right?
Yeah.
So get to the Elite Eight and then worry about Duke.
And then you'll be all right.
Yeah, and plus, then figure it out from there.
And I can't go with Sparty anymore. I told you before, they break my heart like Stanford football.
Yeah, so I had Jerry Palm. Anyway, 404-741-0929 is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Sorry.
Yeah, so, I mean, Texas Tech, Nevada. Nevada's
a good team.
I got them in the eight.
You know, they got as high as, I think, fourth this year.
They play some good. Another team that has a bunch of grad transfers and JUCO guys on that squad.
I love those kinds of programs. You got to love all of that. That is an interesting matchup, Nevada and Florida, with the winner. That'd be a good matchup, Nevada and Michigan, meeting up in the second round.
I say that, and I think Nevada's going to beat Michigan.
I don't anticipate a 16-1 this year.
No,
I don't. I don't think we're getting any of that kind of stuff. And by the way, too, NC State, don't lose to Georgia Tech on your home court toward the end of the year.
They're salty now. They got the ADs coming out writing letters.
And they got wind shares and rips, and I don't even know what their formulas are that they use. They're throwing these terms out there, Randy, like you had to go to MIT to try to figure out what they are. I don't know what they're out there, but they're throwing like all these things out there. First of all, as if it matters at this point, because
you're not getting in.
Yeah.
You're not getting in.
Right, exactly. I think they're the number one. Aren't they like the number one overall seed or something in the NIT?
And it's not the not intern.
Yeah. But they're the number one overall seed, I think. Yeah. So, yeah. Congratulations on that. You know, but no, they were the one team that was salty because. But again, don't lose to Georgia Tech on your home court at the end of the year.
That might have been the damn deciding factor.
Could be. Maybe pick up that win, especially losing at home to Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, don't let them come up to your building and take care of it. And they did. So that's on you. I mean, you got to win. It's one thing to not beat Duke in Kentucky, or Duke in Carolina. It's another thing to lose to Georgia Tech on your home court. So the committee will, especially when you get late in the season, Randy, on things like that, and also to your tournament. You know, I was impressed with what I saw out of Florida State as they made it to the ACC finals, watching that whole game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, they're a team that has got good depth. They play 11 guys. They've got good backcourt play. I like the way they're not afraid to throw it up into the middle to their big guys.
Right.
You know, they had a lot of turnovers in that game against Duke. I mean, they've got to clean that up. Of course, that game as a whole for a lot was a turnover fest. Yeah,
yeah,
it was a lot, especially the first half. It was a real turnover fest. Problem was, once they lost, you know, talk about heavy legs, once their legs started getting heavy and those two guys started running up and down the court for Duke.
And just having his way. And like you said, when number one, when he wants to take over.
Yeah, yeah, there's nobody going to stop
there's
him.
There's nobody. The only thing that's going to stop him is foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be just as
dominant. Or injury.
One of the two. But I think that he is going to be just as dominant as he was in the ACC tournament.
Remember when it was like, oh, I wonder if he'll play in the ACC tournament. Okay, well, he just set the freshman record with 81 points in the ACC tournament. Does that answer your question?
What did he say before that first game? Oh, I was fine 3 games ago. They just wanted me to make sure that I
exactly.
was fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Coach K, no, we'll need to play him. Let's just wait. We're not going to play him in that last North Carolina game. Let him have it. We'll let them have that. Huh. And then we'll unleash this young boy in this tournament. And you saw what he did.
Was that his 15th ACC title? 15th ACC tournament championship, I think, for Coach K?
He got a lot of them.
Yeah.
He got a lot of them, man.
He got a lot of everything, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does. He got a nice bag, man, too.
Yeah. Well, what's wrong with that?
Ain't nothing wrong with
John Wooden. John Wooden had that.
I mean,
For all you people that love that triangle, okay. Well, his bag man was at the top of that triangle.
I mean, but yeah, you're the one. You're the guy.
No, he's the most overrated coach in history of college basketball.
He's the most overrated coach.
He is because people act like he's godlike. He had two of the three greatest players in the history of the sport.
So, do you think Phil Jackson's one of the greatest coaches of all time?
Yes.
How? He had Shaq, Kobe, and he had Mike Jordan.
Okay, and Del Harris had Kobe, Shaq, and Ori, and all those guys for three years.
So we can just say we can say he's a better coach then. We can say Phil's a better coach than
I him. Think he's the best team sport coach of all time.
Phil Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll miss me with that.
Oh, okay. Doug Collins won a lot, didn't he, with Jordan?
Okay.
Oh, okay. How many did he win?
No.
I mean, Del Harris and Rambis had those guys for 3 years. All those guys for 3 years didn't win.
You try and put it on Coach Wooden because he had Lou Alcindor and Bill Walton.
No, he's a great coach.
Okay.
But people act like he's so far above everybody else because, first of all, he played in a 32-team tournament. So you didn't have to win. I mean, you didn't have to win all that much. And two is, he had two of the three greatest players of all time. If you want to tell me that his bag man and all, I forget what that guy's name was out there. If you want to tell me that he was great with that, yeah, I'm with you.
Right.
Listen. If Alcindor had gone to St. John's, he'd have won three national titles at St. John's. And we'd be saying, who was the St. John's coach during Alcindor's reign?
Nobody knows.
Okay, exactly. So that guy would have been the greatest coach of all time if he had 3 years of Alcindor.
Coach Wooden was the greatest coach of all time. You make it seem like
Alcindor walked in on his freshman year and beat the varsity team by like 40. He scored like 52 points by himself against the defending national champions when he walked in. Just saying. Good bag, man. Great coach, but just without a
You make it seem like he's just
no, he's a great coach,
okay,
no question.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm not saying he's not a great coach, but people act like he's like godlike in this pyramid thing. Pyramid's got his bag man at the top.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.